Hey, welcome to Analog Thoughts. I'm going to kind of skip the intro on this one. If you're here, it's most likely because you listened to the first part of this story and you're looking for the second part of Muffin's Adventure. If you haven't listened to the podcast that came before this one, you're going to want to do that because this is the second part of Muffin's and the Whisker Stone. Muffin's whimsical journey to the land, to the distant land of Chicago. So, without further ado, let's get into the second half of Muffins and the Whisker Stone. Muffins awoke to Clarence flapping vigorously and the sound of car horns and construction equipment. Clarence yelled back to him, "Just a bit of turbulence, nothing to worry about." They were a bit lower now and were passing a wide road below. The sun was starting to rise on the horizon, and in front of them was an emerging skyline. High rises and skyscrapers jutted upward, and trains moved from below them into the heart of the city. Muffins had seen tall buildings before, but nothing quite like this. Dayton had big buildings, but this place had so many. The road below was full of cars, vans, trucks, and motorcycles, all whizzing by like fish swimming upstream. They were all very close to each other, moving very quickly, but none of them were touching each other. A harmonious dance that hypnotized Muffins from above. Clarence was descending slowly above the highway. They were flying just above the billboards and signs that were sprinkled along the road below. He looked over his shoulder, back to Muffins. "I won't be taking you all of the way into the city, but very close." Muffins furrowed his brow, and the edges of his mouth went downward. "I very much do appreciate you taking me as far as you have and allowing me to get some rest. You no doubt must be tired, but why can't you set me down in the city?" "The commotion that it would cause," Clarence shouted back over top the sound of the traffic and wind. "Vog knows you're coming, and the less attention we draw to us, the better." Muffins hadn't thought of that. He nodded approvingly. He looked up at the approaching skyline. The sun was glinting off the windows of the skyscrapers. It was a clear morning, brisk but not cold. "Where will we be landing then?" Muffins shouted to the hawk.
"We won't be landing," he said. "I'll fly as low as I can get to one of the trains going into the city, and you'll jump off."
"I'll jump off," Muffins replied, shaken by the thought of it.
"Trust me," Clarence said. "It'll be safe, and these trains are very sturdy."
Muffins looked down to the street again. He thought, "I guess if I can hitch a ride on the front of a bus, how much different could this be?" They dropped even lower in the sky now, flying just above the highway signs below. The silver trains he had seen from above were now just below them as well. Their speed matched the hawk's as he flew. Suddenly, Clarence banked left and hovered some feet above one of the trains that was careening towards the city. This was more chaos than Muffins had ever expected. The loud traffic, the wind rushing by, the train below screeching and rattling.
"Breathe, Muffins. You can do this," Clarence shouted back assuredly.
Muffins closed his eyes. He thought of South Park and his family back home, the warm sun on his green porch, the soft sound of laughing children. He smiled, but then snapped back to his current situation as he heard Clarence shout, "Here we go!" They were now flying right above the moving train. Clarence was holding steady as his feathers ruffled in the wind.
"This is it, Muffins! Time to jump!"
Muffins looked down to the shaking, slick train. He wasn't sure, but what other choice did he have? He wasn't going to turn back now. He couldn't.
"Thank you, Clarence!"
he shouted as he leapt from his back. Clarence pulled away just before hitting a railway sign that sat above the moving train. He shouted back,
"We believe in you, Muffins!"
Muffins rolled forward along the length of the train top. It was indeed slick, and there wasn't anything for him to dig his claws into. Sliding and scratching, he found a divot in the metal. His claws slipped in, and he was able to catch himself. Things were moving much faster now than they had been on Clarence's back, and Muffins hunched low as signs passed overhead, along with overhanging pieces of metal and concrete. The traffic to the left and right of the train seemed much more dense and louder now. The train shook from left to right as it careened forward into the city.
He was breathing heavily now, holding on as the colors and the sounds whizzed by. It just turned dawn, and he could see things with a vibrance he hadn't before. Smoke was on the horizon, and the calamity of construction vehicles and sirens pierced his ears. Just ahead, riding the top of the train would no longer be an option. There were low-hanging pieces of metal, and even if Muffins hunched low to the train, he would be done for. He had to think fast. There was another train moving towards the city to the left of him. If he timed it right, he might be able to jump the gap. However, time wasn't something he really had. He leapt and flew through the air. Without being able to help it, he cried, "Ah!" More of a reflex than anything else. Slamming into the top of the train, he once again scrambled to find his footing. Again, he luckily found a set of divots to sink his claws into. This train didn't seem to have any immediate obstacles ahead. Relief washed over him. He could now actually take a moment to catch his breath. He had no idea where he was going, and no idea where to start looking for answers. The train seemed to be slowing down, and it was. As it lurched to a squeaking halt, Muffins watched as people filed out from the sides of it. Luckily, they all seemed pretty preoccupied, and none of them spotted him. They were all rushing along with little regard to their surroundings. The train had stopped inside some kind of metal and concrete enclosure. It was kind of like a bus stop, but larger than anyone Muffins had ever seen. The side of the train people were filing out of was butted up against a concrete slab, but the other side sat next to another track. Another train approached. It grinded and squeaked to a halt, next to the train Muffins was sitting on. The side of the train was plastered with graffiti, etched writing and images, some pieces clearly by more experienced taggers than others. One piece, amongst the ocean of spray paint, stood out to Muffins. It was different in style, but it was a version of the battle scene from Sushi's Chamber, the scene that pitted Muffins against monstrous cat-like creatures. "Is this some kind of sign?" he thought. The train below him shook a bit and started to accelerate. Once again, he'd been placed in a split-second situation. He looked left and right, backed up to get a bit of a running start, and jumped to the other train. The new train wasn't moving, so his landing was a bit more graceful this time. "Three trains," he said aloud. The train below sat for a moment. But then, just as the other one had, it too rattled and was off. This train went off in the opposite direction, and to very much his surprise, it quickly ducked underground, nearly taking his head clean off. His feline senses kicked in, and he hunched low just before he lost his head. The noise from above was replaced with a reverberating whooshing sound. No more traffic, construction equipment, and sirens, but this new environment was just as intense as the city above ground. Lights blared past, and Muffin saw long runs of pipes and wires all along the interior of the tunnel. The train below clanked as it went. Unseen metal pieces of the undercarriage were sliding against the track and echoing all around him. Muffins noticed that it was cooler down here, and that the smell of exhaust was replaced with a musky aroma. He shivered a bit, not because of the temperature shift, but because an intrusive thought of what happened if he slipped down to the tracks below snuck in. Ahead, Muffins could see a cluster of lights. Another stop, he thought. It had to be. The train pulled into the underground station. Beige metal pillars passed on the left, and mobs of people waited to enter. Their backdrop was torn posters and illuminated advertisements. To the right, and now behind the train, were maps of routes and stops, yellow nodes connecting to red ones, green to blue, a buzzing web of colors to Muffins. The train was coming to a full stop as the brakes squeaked. Muffins braced himself, similarly to the people in the train car below. The door opened. Waves of people rushed out, and mobs of people rushed in. Muffins thought this was probably a good opportunity to get off and get his bearings. But he wasn't thrilled about mingling with all the other people. He liked people, but these were city people. They had agendas and places to be, enough of them coming at him at once, and he'd be a kitty pancake. He thought for a moment and decided that he'd ride on to another stop. Maybe there'd be one down the line a little less crowded. There was, and after four stops or so, he jumped off the train, down to the concrete and tile work, where there were only a few people waiting. There were a few flickering lights at this stop, and it wasn't as clean. A little girl standing next to her mother noticed Muffins jump from the train car and tugged at her jacket. "Mommy, Mommy! A kitty, look!" "That's nice, sweetie," she said, hypnotized by the glow of her phone screen. Muffins thought if this was all the attention he'd draw, he wasn't doing too bad. The train behind him pulled off. On the wall, amongst the maps, was more graffiti. Muffins couldn't believe his eyes. Swirling with the tags and street art was a portrait of him, a cartoonized version of a black and white cat bearing the broken heart nose, green cloak and all. His eyes widened at this. If the last piece of art was a whisper of a sign, this one was screaming at him. Below the portrait was a hole in the wall, not a man-made hole, but a jagged, obtuse hole where concrete rubble surrounded the opening. He sighed and stared at the hole. The faint sound of an approaching train was off in the distance, and Sushi's cautionary words of how time was of the essence rang out in Muffin's head. He leapt from the platform, crossed the metal tracks, and looked into the hole. It was pitch black, even for his keen feline eyes. Looking to his right, he could see the faint light of another approaching train. Time really was running out. Muffins looked back at the hole and went through. The opening wasn't much bigger than his body, and as soon as he passed through the threshold, he could feel air rushing through the cavity. This, at least, he could use as some kind of guide in the darkness. It wasn't light, but it could help him to direct his senses. He fumbled through the darkness, a few times needing to turn, but hitting the side of the wall instead. If he wasn't sure that this was the way he needed to go, there's no way he would have gone through this tunnel. All of a sudden, he heard scratching, some kind of scuttering behind him. It was getting louder. Muffins didn't know what it was, but he didn't want to find out. Going back hadn't been an option for him, and surely now that option seemed more distant than before. He quickened his pace, and the scratching became louder. Muffins darted around unseen corners and bolted quickly when he had felt he had sufficient straightaways. More than once, he found himself slamming into walls and corners. The scratching was getting closer, and he was worried he might have to turn and face his assailant head-on in the dark. He could sense whatever the thing was right at his heels, but he kept pushing forward. Suddenly, he collided with a cold piece of metal. It was a circular metal piece that covered the end of the tunnel. It was connected on a hinge from above, and the force of Muffin's run flipped it open. He tumbled through, and just before the metal door swung closed, a small black mouse ran out and quickly away from him. He now stood on a long brick ledge. This new area was lit by rows of rectangles from above, where sunlight poured in. Over the edge was brownish-green, rushing water, and on the other side of the water was another edge similar to the one he stood upon. Waterfalls fell from some of the rectangular openings, and there was a mist that hung in the air just above the subterranean river. Muffins didn't know which direction to go, but he had trusted his instincts up to this point and decided to head right down the edge. For a while, he walked along, listening to the rush of the water and drips that plopped out of the pipes that ran along the walls. An intrusive thought again entered his mind, of what would happen if he slipped and fell into the murky waters below. He shuddered at the thought. A ways off, Muffins noticed the light from one of the rectangles go dim for a moment. Something climbed through. It was too far for him to tell exactly what it was, but he could see it was black and seemed to scale down the wall with ease. The way it moved seemed unnatural, almost like a spider. Muffins squinted and tried to make out what the figure was. It crawled down the rest of the brick wall and, arching itself backwards onto its front paws and then its back, sat on the brick edge. Muffins stopped walking. "Did it notice me?" he thought. Quickly, it turned its head towards him, almost seeming to swivel all the way around its neck. Muffins could see the creature a bit more clearly now. It was some kind of cat. It arched low for a moment and then stood at its full posture. This creature was almost double the height of Muffins, and its legs jutted out sideways and downward in an arachnid-like fashion. The only real way Muffins knew that this was a cat at all was because of its head. It had a feline shape, pointed ears, small nose, whiskers, but the eyes were wide and bright pink. Its smile scared Muffins. It wasn't a happy smile, more so the smile of a predator that looked to assert its dominance over its prey. "Time to go," Muffins whispered to himself. He turned and started walking briskly, hoping not to draw more attention to himself. Peeking back over his shoulder, the creature had now significantly closed the gap between them and wasn't far behind. Muffins could hear a quiet shuffle on the bricks of the ledge as the creature moved towards him. Now it's time to run, Muffins thought, and he did. Looking back this time wasn't necessary. The quiet shuffle of the creature had now become a fast, static-sounding pulse, growing ever nearer. From a ways off in this new direction, Muffins noticed the illuminating rectangles above were fluttering with moments of darkness, and the walls below them were beginning to speckle with more black figures. He stopped. This new direction wouldn't be an option soon. Looking over his shoulder once again, he could see in his periphery that his previous assailant was almost upon him. Muffins turned fully to face him, touching his sword to pull it from its sheath. He felt a surge of memories flood his mind. This was certainly not his first battle. The hilt of his blade felt like an old friend. The sound it made as he pulled it out rang through the air, and he seemed to recall abstract moments from his past lives, once fighting evil forces and bringing balance. Pulling his sword towards those dark forces at this moment reminded him of the eternal warrior that lived in his soul. He closed his eyes for a moment, fully emerging in these new revelations. They opened to the shuffling spider creature barreling towards him. On its approach, it opened its mouth as wide as a wolf, showing rows of white teeth, its large pink eyes now narrow and scanning to attack. Muffins readied himself. The approaching creature lifted its front appendages. Muffins ran under them and slid his sword into its abdomen with all of his might. The creature lurched backwards in pain and then fell face forward, limbs sprawled out on the bricks. Previously, these actions would have surprised him, but given his new revelations, he felt empowered and brave. Off in the distance, he could see more flutters of darkness dropping from the rectangles above. Soon, he would be surrounded. He heard a snarl from behind and turned to meet the eyes of yet another monstrosity. This one was more of a boar-cat hybrid. Cat ears and eyes with tusks and coarse black hair jutting from the pitch-black skin. In place of the pink eyes, Muffins now looked into deep, sunken purple ones. The boar cat grabbed him by the shoulders and lifted him off of his feet, throwing him against the wall. He made impact and rolled to the floor onto his side. Cats don't always land on their feet. Dazed, but not done, he sprang up. The boar thing was running at him, and he sprung into the air. The force of the creature's head into the brick wall made some of the bricks crack and splinter. Rubble and grit fell upon the perimeter of the wall crater. Muffins landed a few feet away and breathed a sigh of relief. But that relief was short-lived as he realized just how many creatures were closing in around him. Gnarled and twisted versions of cats, unearthly abominations that snarled and howled as they approached. His warrior instincts kicked in, and he charged to his left, at the mob that was now the closer of the two. The impact of his sword rang out against black, twisted metal. The weapons of the creatures did indeed look like that of the prophecy on Sushi's chamber of visions. Muffins pulled away and flew through the air, kicking towards the head of one of the creatures. It flew from the edge and into the gurgling waters below, snarling as the rapids carried it away. The tunnel was now echoing loudly with clicking steel and cries from fallen creatures. It wasn't long before the two mobs met, and Muffins found himself in the middle, completely surrounded. He threw another into the waters and then stopped. They had stopped too. They were standing still now, weapons drawn, staring at him. He breathed heavily and saw them now clearer than he had during the fighting. Grotesque creatures, clad in what looked like black moss or tattered black rags, all of them different. Some more cat than others, but all of them clearly mutated versions of their former feline selves. Muffin's newfound vigor had fueled his tenacity for a time, but now it was simply a game of numbers. There was no way he could stand against this many. They were moving in slowly towards him, weapons drawn. Muffin's thought about jumping into the waters below, but that fate may prove just as perilous as the one he found himself in now. One of the creatures clubbed him from behind, and he fell to the cold, damp bricks. He was lying on his back, dazed now. The circle of creatures that surrounded him were hunching over his body now, slowly blocking the light from all of the rectangles above. Their spears and swords were drawn and pointed at Muffin's throat. They looked blurry, but as his vision started to clear, he could see their malformed smiles and demonic eyes glaring down at him. Their smiles were like hyenas, more the natural contour of their faces than smiles of delight. Suddenly, Their weapons stopped, their dissension to his throat. Several of them looked up and around the tunnel. Muffins was still a bit dazed, and could neither see nor hear what seemed to have garnered their attention. Then he heard a faint fizzle, followed by an echoing pop. A ways off, he heard a voice call out, "Yee!" Followed by another pop, this one louder than before. A few of the creatures pulled themselves straight and looked down the tunnel with wide, startled eyes. Another pop cracked out, and now most of the monsters were turned in its direction. Weapons shifted that way as well. Muffins thought, whatever's coming must be serious to frighten these things. Not allowing curiosity to get the best of the cat, he decided to take this distraction as an opportunity. This might be his only chance to escape. Moving backwards on his paws and staying low to the ground, he began to slink away. Another pop sounded out, and now the mob was riled up and began to shift both towards and away from it. The unseen voice from before yelled again, "Woo, dog!" This time, much closer. Amongst the chaos, Muffins could also hear a strange mechanical whizzing approach. He was spotted, and his slow crawl to safety was thwarted by the boot of one of the creatures pinning his emerald cloak against the ground. It cried out as Muffins met its eyes. Another pop, closer and louder still, the whizzing from before also on the approach. The creature scraped its boot along the ground, pulling Muffins and his cloak towards him. His jaws were massive, and they were snapping open and closed, spewing saliva as they did so. Muffins reached for his sword, but found it pinned in a tangle on his cloak fabric, under the thing's boot. The creature was right over him now. The heat from his breath was on Muffins' face, as was the slobber that fell from his gaping jaws. "Woo-wee!" a voice cried out from just behind the creature. To Muffins' immense surprise, the creature was knocked to the ground. "Woo-wee!" a voice cried out from just behind the creature. To Muffins' immense surprise, the creature was knocked to the ground by some sort of plow, and he was snatched off the ground by the collar of his cloak. He could tell he was moving fast, but couldn't see what was going on. In the shuffling confusion, his cloak had blown up over his head, and he was now trying to push it down as air rushed past. Boom! Another blast rang out just behind him. He was finally able to push his cloak aside and got a look at his situation. He was sitting atop the whizzing thing he had heard. An RC truck with a plow mounted on the front. It was cutting through legions of the creature like a knife through meat pate. A bump almost flung him over the side, and he grabbed hold of the truck, securing himself. His mouth fell open as he looked over to the driver, his subterranean savior. It was a rat, a huge gray and white rat, almost the size of a cat, with bright pink ears. Atop its head sat a dusty brown cowboy hat. Its feet were shifting back and forth on the controls of the RC vehicle, while its hands were occupied by lighting a firecracker with a lit cigarette. It cried out again, "Yee-haw!" and then threw the freshly lit explosive from the truck into the surrounding mob. "You gotta be the guy from them pictures." Smoke rolled out into the airstream of the moving truck. "From the pictures? Oh, yes, yes, that's me." Muffins was still clinging to the truck and trying to appear natural as it bobbed up and down. They sped past a larger cat monstrosity, and it sunk its clawed hook of a weapon into the truck. The thing flung itself on board the back of the truck and slowed them a bit. "Hold on, kitty," the rat yelled out. She shifted her long rat foot to the left, and the truck banked towards the arched wall. They now sped along sideways, two wheels on the brick floor, two riding along the arch of the wall. The creature lost its balance, and the rat flicked its cigarette into its face. The thing cried out and fell from the truck, allowing it to fall back to its previously level position. It took out a handful of other creatures, some of them falling into the water as it did so. Muffins was astonished by how many of them there were. An army of creatures, and now that he could see them a bit more clearly, he noticed that some of them resembled squirrels, raccoons, and other animals. "That big guy that fell off the truck must have been a possum?" Muffins asked the rat. "A possum? That thing was a lot of things, but I don't reckon a possum was one of them, least not anymore. Smokes are hard to come by down here, so I'm a little chapped about that one." The rat lit another cigarette and took a long pull. Their truck trudged on through the mobs of creatures below. "Name's Ratsy, Ratsy Klein." She exhaled, and her plume of smoke wafted around her head and away from the truck. I don't usually pick up cats. Usually I do my best to keep them further than a rabbit to a wolf, but... She took another pull from her cigarette and winked at Muffins. You're the one from them pictures. The front of the truck lurched forward, followed shortly by the rear. Woo! That's a big one! She pulled another firecracker from a bag on the floor and began to light the fuse.
So, you're the one that Sushi spoke of, the one that would find me in my time of need, and you know how to get into Vog's stronghold.
Ratsy tossed another firecracker over the edge.
Sushi? I don't know no Sushi. That another cat? Because I told you, I don't really do cats. Only reason I scooped you up is because you look like the cat I've been seeing in all these pictures. Other rats been seeing them, too. It's been rough down here, and up top, too, for some time. And rougher it gets, the tougher we gotta be. The more we keep seeing pictures pop up with your face on them, the more of them dang monster things pop up, too.
I can't keep bumming cigarettes, and I refuse to eat another moldy meal of scraps that I wouldn't like even if it wasn't spoiled. They heard snarling from below as the truck rocked sideways. There was a loud boom from under the back driver's side of the truck. One of the wheels popped. Ratsy spun her head around.
Oh, heck, this again.
What do we do? Muffins cried out.
Don't fret, little cat buddy, Ratsy shouted. This ain't my first rodeo.
Ratsy shifted her feet on the RC controller, and the truck again banked sideways, this time towards the water below. To Muffins' astonishment, the truck flew over the edge. He hunched low and sank his claws into whatever he could find. They dropped and splashed into the water below, bouncing like a buoy as they did so. The current was pulling them backwards, but with a quick flick of Ratsy's foot, a small motor on the back of the truck fired up with a gurgling sputter. They started moving forward.
This thing floats, but I don't much like getting it along this way, Ratsy said. They won't come down here to the water, but now we got them on the left and we got them on the right of us. No way back up till we get past them.
Muffin straightened his posture and looked up to the left and right of them. They were now indeed surrounded on both sides. He saw one of the creatures throwing something and quickly ducked to avoid being hit by the object.
Ratsy yelled out, "Yep, they'll do that too if you ride down here. Let's get moving."
Her foot pushed forward on the controller. The front of the vessel tipped upward as the thrust of the engine swept them along. Their RC vessel shook them a bit as one of the creatures from above threw a bigger piece of stone into the water right beside them, almost making impact.
God dang it, Ratsy yelled out. Let's get going. I'm tired of these things messing up my truck.
She depressed the RC thruster once again, and they sped down the water even faster now. Ahead, there was a tunnel. The brick ledges the creature stood on beside them were cut off at the opening. Across the face of the opening was strung up what looked like thick pieces of rope. They made an almost spiderweb-like pattern, and their ends were held by creatures to the left and right of the opening. They sneered and cackled, thinking that they stopped the cat and rat from entering the tunnel. Ratsy sighed and rolled her eyes. She reached down and sifted through her bag, pulling out 3 cherry bombs. She handed one to Muffins.
Hold that right quick, she said, and then, while still holding the cigarette in her mouth, proceeded to light the 2 in her hands.
These fuses were a bit longer. Muffins grew impatient and worried as they burned down. He looked at them frantically and then to Ratsy.
Are you going to throw them?
With her cigarette dangling from the side of her mouth, she said, You got to let these cook. Muffins' tension grew, and right before the wick reached the explosive, Ratsy handed him one and yelled,
Throw it!
Muffins, shocked, dropped the one he was already holding, and was now juggling the lit one from paw to paw.
Throw it! She cried out again.
Muffins chucked the cherry bomb up and to the left. Ratsy threw hers up and to the right. They exploded at nearly the same time, and the webbed rope that blocked their path fell into the water. They zoomed past the threshold and could hear screams of pain as they did so. Muffins sat up and backwards on his seat, looking to the opening and seeing creatures fall into the water. Their splashes and cries reverberated down the tube along with the sound of the vessel's motor. He turned and looked down to the floorboard at the bright red rolling bomb.
What was the 3rd one for?
Ratsy snorted.
Heh, some of them are duds. I figured if one didn't blow and only half them critters were down, best to have another one ready.
They were now speeding down the long, arched brick tunnel. It had less rectangles above illuminating their way, but enough to create little pockets of light as they went. Some of them, like before, had streams of water that trickled into the river. Muffins felt a bit more comfortable now. He could actually take a breath and collect his thoughts.
Do you live down here?
Ratsy tipped the rim of her cowboy hat, and her eyebrows rose.
I don't really live nowhere. Me and the other rats set up camp where we can, but best not stay in one place too long down here.
We go up top and used to be safer down here, but obviously that ain't the case no more. Up top ain't what it used to be neither, though. A rat gets to think about how this town's going to heck in a handbasket and starts seeing all these pictures and paintings pop up. Then you pop up, the cat in all the pictures. I reckon it ain't coincidence.
It's not, Muffins began. He gave Ratsy a quick recap of the events leading up to their meeting. Ratsy listened and then nodded with approval. She took another long, slow drag from her cigarette.
Hey yo, so this is like the middle of the show, and I wanted to, first of all, thank everyone for dialing into this podcast. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that you are sharing this experience with me. If you'd like to support the podcast, leaving a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening to this on goes a really, really long way. Also, if you are able to leave a review for the podcast, that also goes an extremely long way. Another way you can support the podcast, other than just telling your friends and family about it, is signing up on my Patreon. There is a link in the description of this episode and all the episodes, or you can just go to patreon.com and search for Mount Analog, MT.ANALOGUE. You get early access to podcasts, early access to my music, early access to art, and all kinds of other cool stuff. However you support, I cannot thank you enough. Infinite, infinite, infinite thank yous. I love you. Infinite blessings to you. Let's get back to the podcast.
I don't know this Vogue you're talking about, but I have seen where these monster critters are coming from. I ain't seen this Whisker Stone thing neither, except in these pictures. But I reckon it's probably sitting somewhere close to where they've been coming from.
And you know where they're coming from? Muffins asked.
Sure, I've seen them crawling out of different places.
Muffins' eyes narrowed.
Can you take me to one of these places?
Ratsy nodded, lit another cigarette, and pushed up again on the controls. They banked into another tunnel, a tributary connecting to the main underground river. They went deep into this tunnel. It was a bit more narrow, and their vessel cut through a low-hanging fog that sat just over the water. The smell was danker than before, and the pipes that hung along the walls were a bit more rusty. There was a soft glow ahead, something that could be faintly seen through the darkness. Ratsy turned to Muffins.
This is one of them pictures.
Their boat truck docked at a small ledge that sat along the water. They stepped out to a tall concrete arch on the tunnel wall that framed one of the pictures Ratsy spoke of. It was another piece of graffiti street art. This one looked fairly similar to the pieces in Sushi's chamber. Menacing creatures battling with Muffins on a cosmic nebulous plane. In the back sat Vogue, clutching the Whisker Stone with his evil glowing red eyes. It was animating as well. Slowly, similar to the one Sushi had shown him before. Muffins pointed.
That's Vogue.
I should have guessed, Ratsy said. He's in a lot of these pictures, and he always looks like he's up to no good.
Muffins turned to Ratsy.
He is up to no good. He's the reason things have been so bleak for you, and for me. I've got to get the stone back before he turns everything to darkness, Ratsy. For both of our sakes.
I reckon we do.
Muffins turned his eyes to the floor and shot them back to Ratsy with a smile.
I appreciate everything you've done for me, I really do, and I know you care about what happens and the fate of your home, but I've been told I have to do this alone. It's my fate. After you show me the way, I'll have to be...
Ratsy cut him off.
Whoa now, kitty.
She took a long drag off her cigarette and blew it out as she replied.
You think I'm just gonna let you do this alone? Nope, no siree. If this Vogue character is as crazy as you make him sound, then you're gonna need all the help you can get. Besides, I got a bag of booms and a boat with a plow. To heck with fate. I'm riding my own fate, and in it, I'm helping you slap this evil guy upside his head so you can get your magic rock back. I'm tired of running around with these weird critters gunking up my sewers anyway.
Her cowboy boots clicked on the bricks as she scurried back to the boat.
Now are you getting in this boat, or are you just gonna stay lost down here?
She smiled. Muffin smiled back.
He was starting to really like the rat. She wasn't like anyone he had met on his quest. There wasn't an aura of magic around her, but she had grit that none of her other companions seemed to have, a resolve that inspired him.
He got into the boat and they puttered off down the tunnel again. They went through a true labyrinth of connecting tunnels and tubes. The deeper they went, the less illuminating gutters there were from above.
Eventually, Ratsy leaned back and lit a small candle that sat in the bed of her truck, with her cigarette, of course. It flickered as the lights bounced off the brick walls. Again and again, they passed more pieces of street art, all of them telling and retelling similar stories. Neighborhoods falling to darkness, the magic being drained by Vogue's corrupting energy amplified by the Whisker Stone. With the darkness increasing, each one seemed to illuminate more than the last. The hanging fog was getting thicker, and off in the distance, Ratsy and Muffins could hear faint shuffling and crawling. Their boat truck flowed forward. The candle in the bed created a sphere of light around them, but didn't pierce much through the wall of fog that now encapsulated them. The tunnel they were in seemed to open up into a very large pool of water. In front of them, they could see ever so faintly through the fog a purple and pink glow. The shuffling and clawing sound from before was now louder and mixed with a strange guttural clicking sound neither of them could identify. Ratsy whispered to Muffins, "That glow is another picture. That's where the things are coming from, I think." Muffins narrowed his eyes, trying to see through the fog. He couldn't make out the picture, but he was able to make out two pacing silhouettes. "There are two of them up there, I think," he said. Ratsy squinted. "I think you're right, kitty." Just then, the guttural language became louder, and the strange throat clicking more fast and intense. "I think they see us," Muffins whispered. The front of the truck was struck by a rather large stone. It didn't capsize their vessel, but it bounced the front of it down into the water, almost sending the two over the edge. "Oh, they see us!" Ratsy called out. She pushed her controls to full speed, as they went through the fog, toward the creatures. On their approach, the fog cleared a bit, and Muffins could see that the two new fiends were spider-like cat things, similar to the one he encountered before. "What's the plan, Ratsy?" Muffins cried out nervously. She reached down into her sack of explosives and turned to him. "Yee-haw!" Ratsy pulled out a regular firecracker this time. They were approaching the ledge where the two figures were now jumping up and down quickly. There was a pile of rocks between them, and they were heaving them at the truck boat. Ratsy's feet were going wild on the controls, pulling the boat back and forth to evade the large rocks. Muffins was now finding himself holding on for dear life again. Ratsy was pulling the explosives fuse to her cigarette, ready to ignite when one of the stones made impact on the hood. Combined with the forward momentum of the ship, this one was devastating. Muffins, Ratsy, Ratsy's bag of explosives, and other various knickknacks and objects she kept in her truck all went flying through the air, over the water, and towards the creatures. The creatures stood there, eyes wide, realizing the error of their decisions. Muffins collided with one, and Ratsy flew past the other. Luckily, the monster Muffins collided with broke his fall. Ratsy wasn't so lucky, and collided with the brick floor, rolling a ways behind the other creatures towards the picture. Muffins sprang up. The creature under him seemed out cold, but the other one was now running towards Ratsy. He sped to her, but he couldn't make it in time. The thing was now looming over her. Ratsy's eyes snapped open, and her long rat tail coiled around one of the creature's appendages. She jerked it to the ground, just as Muffins ran up behind. He drew his blade, and knelt to put it to the monster's throat. The light from the street art now glinted off the blade. Ratsy stood up, and the creature fell fully to the ground, squirming. "I got this," she said calmly. Among the items that flew from the truck boat to the bricks were several long pieces of rope. Ratsy dragged the creature over to one, and proceeded to hogtie all of its appendages together. "That ought to do it. I gotta take these opportunities so I don't get rusty at tying." Muffins looked at her with amazement. "Yee-haw?" The creature started to squirm and cry out in its chattering, guttural language. Ratsy quickly smacked him in the head with her tail, quieting him. She looked around frantically. The contents of her truck were thrown all about. She saw her bag of explosives sitting not far, mostly intact, with a few scattered around, a few pieces of rope, and a matchbook. Still looking frantically, she peeked past Muffin's shoulder and saw her pack of cigarettes. "Phew!" she cried out. "Looks like my ship's sunk, but we got all the important things." She walked to her cigarettes, lit up a fresh one, and began to collect her other items from the ground. Muffins turned to look at the mural on the wall. This one was bigger and more elaborate than any of the others. It seemed to be a combination of all of them, combined into one, an even larger and more elaborate version than he had seen with Sushi. He approached it with awe. It was illuminating and slowly moving. He thought he could hear it, clashing swords, swirling energy, Vogue, the stone. Eye level to Muffins, sitting in the center of a circle, almost a scene of cosmic shimmering space, was the broken heart, the symbol from his nose, the black, breaking heart. Ratsy, having collected her fallen items, walked up behind him.
"This is where they come from," she said softly. "I can't explain how, but this is always where I see them springing from. It took some time, but I tracked them to here. I followed a few of them back here, but I ain't never got this close."
Muffins looked up again in awe. The light reflected off of his eyes, and he took a deep breath. Then he reached out and touched the broken heart. He could feel a pulse of energy surge through the walls, and suddenly the animated pieces of the mural began to move quickly. The light from the piece began to flicker different colors, and the wall began to rumble. Muffins and Ratsy's eyes widened as they backed up slowly.
"We done it now," Ratsy said.
To their surprise, the wall just below the broken heart symbol began to glow. An archway of gold light took shape, and the concrete within it vanished with a flash. Within the arch was an opening now. Red light poured out of it, along with a low, misty fog. The mural wasn't moving anymore, and the light that pulsed through it had become all white, outlining only the figures and objects. Muffins looked back to Ratsy, staring into the opening. She tightened her cowboy hat down on her head.
"This is it, kitty,"
Muffins nodded, and they walked through the archway into the red light. For some time, they walked down a long corridor lined with twisted metal. Black, charred pieces of shrapnel hung loosely from the walls. It was oddly warmer, and the humidity was noticeably higher. The bricks on the floor went from being uniform to slowly changing into small, swirling patterns of stones and gems, as did the bricks on the walls. Every few feet, there were unearthly red, burning torches hanging from the walls as well. Far off down the corridor, they could hear some kind of meeting or event. The cadence of a single voice and the cheers that followed from many voices made it sound like some kind of rally or sermon. Muffins turned and gave Ratsy a look as if to say, "Are you ready?" Ratsy nodded, and they continued down the passage. The deeper they went, the louder the voice and the cheers became. They started to be able to make out some of the words the leader of this rally was saying as they echoed around them. He had an enthusiastic, deep voice, one that held authority and malice.
"My will has been done through the stone. No one can stop this impending doom."
The crowd cheered again.
"As we grow stronger and our forces multiply, soon the realm will be ours."
Muffins and Ratsy approached a large, open doorway. They both hunched low to the ground as they moved forward now. Beyond the door was a massive chamber, lit by chandeliers that seemed to be made from the same black shrapnel that hung through the halls. It was a circular room and had two levels. There was an immense hole in the center of the room, an opening to the bottom layer. The room was a ring. The level they were on consisted of a ledge that went all the way around. More doorways lined the chamber around the perimeter. There was chain link that dropped between black metal poles that lined the inside of the circle around the opening in the floor. The bright red torches that lined the walls were similar to the ones in the hall, only larger and burning with more brighter flames. The sinister voice was even louder now that they were in this chamber. They approached the ledge slowly and ducked beneath the chain link, peering over to get a glimpse of the lower level. Below, they saw 50 to 60 of the creatures all standing in formation, squirming and bouncing. There was a long open space between the two units that led up to a jagged metal platform. On the platform was a podium constructed of what seemed to be swirling bricks, bones, and gems similar to the ones they passed in the hall. Standing behind the podium was Vogue, hooded in a black cloak. Both of his paws were waving up and down, pounding on the podium as he spoke. His words were woven between hissing sounds like a snake. Behind him, on the wall, sitting on a ledge that was made of bricks that jutted from it, was the Whisker Stone. It was black, but pulsing from it was red light. The light didn't move in straight lines, but swirled through the air like a liquid, and along the walls, creating a menacing backdrop for Vogue's speech. The pattern of light looked intentional. It formed a web all along the bricks that went from the floor all the way to the top of the wall
and it pulsed and flowed with the rhythm of his voice.
We were weak before, but now we stand strong with the power of the stone. Soon, all of the life will be sucked from this realm, and it will be ours.
Vog yelled and hissed through his fiendish white fangs. The crowd again cheered and clicked and made their strange guttural sounds. Muffins analyzed all of the surroundings, took note of all the details with his keen cat eyes. He moved close to Ratsy's ear.
I have a plan. I'll crawl over to a pole that's hanging close to the stage and tie on one of your ropes. You crawl over to the other side of the circle and create a distraction by throwing one of your firecrackers down to the crowd. Then, I'll swoop down on the rope and grab the stone from the ledge.
Ratsy raised an eyebrow, the corners of her mouth tilted downward.
It ain't a perfect plan, but I think you're onto something, Kitty. How about instead of throwing one of the firecrackers, I light 'em up? We'll have to make it out of here, and less of them we got to deal with, the better.
So long as there's a distraction, Muffins replied. I just need enough time to swoop down and grab the stone.
Ratsy nodded. Muffins and Ratsy crawled to their respective positions. Ratsy peeled through her bag and pulled a firecracker from it, and Muffins tied off the rope. He looked up and across the opening to Ratsy. He raised a pole into the air, and she, with her cigarette, lit the explosive and threw it into the crowd. Vog stopped yelling, and the crowd turned to see what had fallen from above. The fuse burned for just a moment as it closed the gap to the firecracker. Nothing happened.
It's a dud!
Ratsy cried out. All eyes, including Vog's, were on her now, looking up from the chamber below, processing what was happening. None of them expected to see a rat with a cowboy hat yelling from the ledge above. Muffin's eyes widened, and his breath quickened. He had to think fast. Grabbing the rope, he leapt from the ledge and swung down towards the stone. Some of the creatures were now climbing the wall up towards Ratsy. Vog's head spun around at Muffins flying through the air.
The chosen one!
He cried out. Muffins flew towards the stone as Vog quickly scaled the illuminated wall to meet him. Just as Muffins reached the stone, so did he. Muffins reached out for it, but Vog reached upward and grabbed his boot. Muffin's paw made contact with the stone, and he felt a surge of energy through his body. In a flash, he felt the visions he had in Sushi's chamber again, only this time more vivid and detailed. They passed before his mind with immense speed, but before he could process any of it, it was ripped from him. The stone went flying from its ledge and into the crowd. Muffins was pulled from the rope by Vog to the stage. Vog pinned him down by both of his shoulders and was now over top of him.
Kss, you fool! The power of the stone is more than you could ever understand. It's beyond you, and it will be mine.
Ratsy scrambled from above, ran around the perimeter of the circle, dodging creatures that had climbed up from the left and right of her. Some of them she flicked back down with the whip of her tail. Others she managed to ward off with a firecracker or two. She looked down to the stage and saw Muffins pinned by Vog.
Oh, man,
she cried out. She had to get down to the lower level and fast. She sparked another cherry bomb and held it in her hand as the creatures were closing in around her, letting it cook. Just before the wick ran down, she dropped it and leapt from the ledge to the floor below.
Yee-haw!
She cried out. The creatures looked confused and shocked at her departure. Their eyes turned back to the bomb as it fizzled. It blew and sent them hurling backwards, some of them over the ledge and some of them maimed by the explosion. The floor quaked and cracked where it went off. Ratsy landed luckily atop a large creature that for the most part broke her fall. The creature wasn't exactly soft, but it had enough cushion to help her from breaking any vital bones. She came to in a haze, and shaking the daze from her head, saw the whisker stone sitting right beside her. Grabbing it, she too could feel its immense energy. Having visions of her own, it captivated her, and for a moment consumed her attention. She snapped out of her vision and realized that the chamber of monsters was now descending upon her, clicking and snarling. On the stage, Vog had now pulled a dagger into the air, readying it for Muffins. Muffins squirmed below him, Vog's cloak draped over his body. He leaned to his shoulder and bit the paw that held him to the ground. Vog cried out and dropped the dagger to the floor by Muffins' head with a ting. He leapt up and pulled his sword from his sheath. He swung it towards Vog, and it met the twisted black weapon Vog concealed beneath his cloak.
Vog leaned in, the pressure of his blade against Muffin's.
Do you really think you'll leave here alive? The stone is mine. Imagine a world by your design, Muffins. One where your power reigns.
Vog's glowing red eyes widened and pulsed on Muffin's face.
Join me, and together the power of the Whisker Stone could be ours.
Muffin stared back into his eyes, pushing with all of his strength against Vog's blade.
Sushi said you were a good cat once. He said you had great potential and that he saw promise in you. It doesn't have to be like this, Vog. You can still be a good cat.
Sushi, Vog cried out. He fills your head with false hope and lies. The world is cruel, and the only way to survive is to match its cruelty. The only way is through the power of the stone.
Muffins shoved against the force of Vog's blade, sending him backwards. Stunned for just a moment, he leapt forward, angry, and with an intense ferocity started swinging his blade at Muffins. Muffins blocked his falling blows, and they were set in a dance of swinging swords and evasive rolls. All the while, below the stage, Ratsy was whipping her tail into the faces of creatures and sending firecrackers hurling through the air, the stone now securely in her backpack. She ran along the floor, dodging the fall of their weapons and the swipe of their claws. Still dealing blows towards Muffins on the platform above, Vog noticed Ratsy below. He saw the stone glowing through the lining of her backpack as she moved. Looking back to Muffins, he pushed a mighty blow of his sword forward, sending Muffins stumbling backwards. As he regained his balance, Vog jumped off the stage, his cloak billowing through the air as he did so. He moved through the mob of creatures and towards Ratsy. She was still scrambling about, evading the attacks of her assailants. Amongst the chaos, she looked up and saw the red glowing eyes moving quickly towards her. Muffins lunged to the edge of the platform and down to the floor as well. Ratsy knew Vog was coming for the stone. She pulled her pack to her side and took it out, hurling it through the air towards Muffins. She yelled, "Catch, kitty!" The stone flew over the heads of the creatures that surrounded her and over Vog's head as well. Muffins saw it careening through the air towards him. His eyes locked onto it, glowing as it fell. The eyes of the surrounding creatures followed it through the air. Muffins moved forward and caught the Whisker Stone. He looked up to see the mob of creatures, now still, staring at him. Vog now moved behind Ratsy, holding tight to her, his weapon to her throat.
Give me the stone, Muffins.
Ratsy's eyes squinted and met Muffins. She shook her head, no.
Now that you're up close, you smell worse than the rest of them.
Vog elbowed her in the stomach.
Let her go. There's still good in you. I can sense it.
Muffins cried out.
The power of the stone is mine.
Vog began.
There's no hope left for you, this rat, or any in this realm. I tire of this squabble. Give me the stone now, or I gut your friend.
Muffins wasn't sure what to do. He couldn't give Vog the stone, but he couldn't just let Ratsy die.
Fine, let her go and you can have the stone.
That's not how we're going to do this,
hissed Vog.
Give me the stone, and you may claim the rat.
Ratsy looked down to the ground, at her bag of firecrackers and cherry bombs. She took a long drag off the cigarette that dangled from her lip, and looked up to Muffins. Through the smoke, she called out across the chamber to him,
Kitty, I really like you, and it's been a wild ride, but I reckon this is where I get off.
She winked at him, tipped her head, and spat her lit cigarette into the bag of explosives.
Ratsy, no!
Muffins cried out. Vog let out one final scream and hiss before the impending explosion, his eyes now glowing more red than ever, frantic. The explosion surged through the chamber, rattling its walls and shaking its foundation. Creatures that stood by were flung about into the air. Chunks of brick ricocheted off the walls and pillars. Red light surged from a shockwave that was sent out from the explosion. Muffins was sent backwards and into the front of the stage. He laid there for a moment, low to the ground, as rubble flew around him, smacking the walls and floor. The creatures that weren't out of commission were struggling to keep their balance. The chamber was shaking, and more bricks were beginning to fall from the ceiling. Pieces of the encircling ledge from above were cracking and rattling loose. Muffins leapt to his feet and out of his daze. He didn't have time to process what had just happened, the sacrifice that was just made. He looked down to see the whisker stone safely in his paws now. It felt different. The evil that Vog had poured into it was gone. The walls were coming down around him, and if he didn't think fast, he'd be buried in falling bricks and concrete. He had to escape, and more importantly, he had to get the whisker stone to safety. Creatures were scattering all around him, into doors, pipes, and cavities in the walls. The entire room was rumbling. Pillars that supported the encircling ledge from above were crashing down. Muffins didn't know where any of the doors around him would lead. The only real knowledge of the layout of this place he had was the hallway in which he and Ratsy entered. He remembered the rope he'd swung down from behind him and ran to it. It was flailing with the shaking of the chamber, but he managed to leap into the air and sink his paw into the end of it. More crashing and falling from above, he shifted sideways on the rope just in time to miss a falling piece of the ceiling. He climbed the rope as fast as he could, back to the ledge of the second layer. There were mounds of debris all around, and the air was thick with dust and smoke. Muffins ran for the opening of the hallway from which he had entered. To his surprise, it was intact. He couldn't spare a moment on thinking of what might happen if it fell, and ran in. The black, twisted metal on the walls was rattling along with the rest of the hall. Some of the pieces began to fall, and some of the bricks were beginning to rattle loose from their places. Running as fast as he could, he turned to look behind, hoping he wouldn't be tailed by one of the creatures. The hallway was collapsing. All he could see was falling bricks, dust, and destruction behind him. The chaos was closing in on him very quickly. The floor shook and quaked with even more intensity now. The pressure of the implosion was pushing him forward. Muffins could see the opening just ahead as he continued to the end of the hallway. Just as he reached the end, there was one final, immense crash, the full implosion of the hallway, and no doubt, Vog's entire lair. Muffins flew through the air, propelled by the force of the destruction. He flew past the area where he and Ratsy had fought the guards from before, and was headed straight for the water. It was cold when he fell into it. He could hear muffled splashes, thunks in the water from bricks and stone that were flying all around him. Holding tight to the stone and pulling against the weight of his saturated cloak, he swam to the surface. It was dark now, almost no light. The sounds of Vog's fallen stronghold were still ringing out in the air. He bobbed in the choppy water now, keeping himself barely afloat with his back legs and one free paw. "What am I going to do?" he thought. Suddenly, the stone began to glow. A bright light of blue and white emanated from within. Muffins could see now. He looked around and saw not far from him was Ratsy's truck boat. Trudging through the water, he swam to it, and he pulled himself aboard. He could see that it was still somewhat intact. The impact of the stone had crushed the front of it, but it was still floating. The engine still looked like it was in working order, too. Muffins had no idea how to start it, but after a few attempts and with a little luck, it puttered on and started to bubble in the water. The light of the whisker stone guided Muffins through the labyrinth of tunnels and down the channels of the sewers. He passed the street art he and Ratsy had passed before. They were still animated and full of light, only now the images were different. In place of Vog menacing over the stone and neighborhoods crippled by darkness were images of happy, laughing families and bright, beautiful neighborhoods. Where there had once been scenes of battle and chaos were new scenes of Muffins posed stoically with the whisker stone and sitting peacefully with his family. He now had time to think about what had just happened in Vog's stronghold, and he wept. Perhaps he should have gone alone. Would things have been different for the fate of the realm? He thought. He barely knew Ratsy, but he missed her. His prophetic guide had made the ultimate sacrifice. The murky waters gurgled and swirled as Muffins approached an opening. The sewer waters he had glided upon were opening up to the outside world, and as he approached the end of his tunnel, sunlight beamed and glinted across the rippling waves. He was delighted to see that his time underground was coming to an end. His delight waned a bit as he noticed the water beneath him was rushing faster as he approached the opening. With a swoosh, he was thrust through a massive corrugated pipe into a rushing river. The river was going right through Chicago, and to the left and right of him, he could see the towering buildings once again. Traffic sped over bridges, and he could hear the sound of it mixing with the sound of the churning water. Somehow, the city felt different. It seemed more alive and full of life. He felt a trembling in his hands. It startled him. The Whisker Stone began to glow with vibrant pinks and blues. Muffins pulled it to his face and was captivated by its beauty. Slowly, on its nebulous, smooth surface, a face began to take shape. It was Sushi, smiling with his massive sushi smile and gleaming blue eyes. His voice rang through the stone with an ethereal vibrance.
"Muffins, my boy, you've done it!"
"Not without the help of Ratsy," Muffins replied through tearful eyes. "She was supposed to be my guide, not to fall at the hands of Vogue and sacrifice her..." Sushi cut him off.
"Life doesn't always have a plan, Muffins. Prophecies, even ones set in stone, are meant to change. The future is never certain, and only the present yields the truth."
Ratsy loved this realm, and she understood that love is sacrifice.
"You love this realm too, and placed in her boots, would have done the same as she did. Dry your tears, and know that she is still with you, your heart, inspired by her bravery and courage. She still lives."
Muffins pushed tears from his eyes with his paws.
"I know, Sushi. I'm happy to have had her with me, and ever so glad that the realm is safe."
Sushi's smile returned.
"You've done well. Balance is restored. The light is returning to South Park and all of the neighborhoods in the realm. Blackberry has delivered a letter to your family, and they will be picking you up."
Muffin's eyes widened at this.
"My family? They're coming to get me?"
"Yes, Muffins," Sushi said. "They've been worried to death about you, and I'm sure they'll be delighted to see you. Make your way to Esquisher Pizza on Wabash Avenue. They'll be waiting for you there."
Sushi's face faded from the stone. Muffins docked the mangled boat truck on the side of the river and found a staircase to the street above. The bustle of the sidewalks and the streets didn't seem to bother him as much as it would have before. He felt at peace as he walked and felt the wind on his whiskers. The people that walked past him seemed to smile at him, and a few of them reached down to pet his back. Turning a corner, he could smell fresh baking bread and cheese in the air. He looked up to a street sign.
"Wabash Avenue!" he exclaimed aloud.
Muffins found the pizza place and wandered around back. He didn't see his family yet, but surely there would be some slices to be had by the dumpster, and after his long journey, he was truly famished. His guess was right. Out back was a buffet of fresh, warm pizza. He helped himself until his heart and stomach were content. Jumping to the ground from the edge of the dumpster, he heard a beep beep and two voices shout out,
"Muffins!"
It was his family. He rushed to them and leapt into their arms. They didn't care that he was wet and covered in pizza sauce. They were just happy to have him back. After his return home, Blackberry called for him. As they had before, they rode the bus to Sushi's. Together, the three cats placed the Whisker Stone upon a pedestal in Sushi's chamber of artifacts and enchanted relics. It made a whispering hum as it was placed, and then glowed a beautiful, vibrant white. The white reflected onto the wall behind the pedestal. The mural from before that laid out Muffin's quest began to swirl. All of the images and colors became a vortex. Winding and swirling, it all melded together and became a black, blank wall. The three cats sat in silence for a moment, and then the stone poured out even more light over the wall, humming as it did so. From the blackness emerged a new image. Flowers, trees, plants, and vines, homes and buildings, cats, dogs, people, and other animals all smiling. All of these elements were animating slightly and arched inward to create a frame. In the middle of the frame sat Muffins and Ratsy. Ratsy, just as she was, in her boots, tipping her cowboy hat back, smoking a cigarette, Muffins in his emerald cloak, sword in hand, pointing it to the sky. The trees and flowers that bloomed in South Park that year were fuller and more vibrant than ever. Laughter and singing returned to the streets. Strangers who passed Muffin's porch would always stop and lean down to scratch and pet him. The air smelled so sweet, and the sound of distant traffic was virtually non-existent. His neighborhood was safe. and he now had a new perspective on things. The world felt so much bigger than it had before. He understood now that the beams of light that cascaded over his porch and bed were also warming the porches of countless others. He thought of the words Sushi told him. The future was never certain. Things always change, and true love is sacrifice. And there it is, Muffin's quest to secure the Whisker Stone and return balance to the realm. I really hope you enjoyed this short story. I really enjoyed writing it. I plan to write more short stories in the future. I might potentially make a second podcast where I share those short stories. I don't know. I don't want to completely invade this podcast with just short stories, but I have been writing a lot, so I may do that. I may do that in the future. Also, on a real tip, just real quick, if you don't have your pets microchipped, consider doing it. It's really important. Had we not had Muffins microchipped, we may have never seen him again. He may have just been lost and living in Chicago for the rest of his days. So microchip your pets. I don't want to keep you too long. So once again, thank you for being here and listening to this story. Keep creating, keep following your passions in whatever capacity that means for you. I plan to have the next episode of my podcast out next week. It's going to be an exploration into what happiness is. Until then, remember to check on your mental health and remember to check on the mental health of your loved ones. Bye. Analog thoughts. Analog thoughts. Analog thoughts.